seek to renew the mind without conforming to the world. Which was important for us because there's so much going on in the world that we can be distracted by. So what we did is we said, we're going to go on this hero's journey together, and we're using Joseph Campbell's work, and we're going to go through and see if we can be transformed. Be ye transformed, Romans 12:2. Then, leading all the way up, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of recap in case this is your first day, or if you perhaps haven't been here since, like, Christmas. Humor is holy, by the way. You can laugh at Unity of Dallas. Or perhaps you haven't been in many, many years. I'm glad that you're here on this journey with us today that we're on that led us up to Palm Sunday, where we talked about how bold Jesus was and how he knew before he left to go to Jerusalem what he was going to be facing. It was going to be hard. It was going to be challenging. It was going to be difficult. But in Scripture it said he put his face forward. He put his face forward. He did it like flint, hard, strong, knew who he was. And so the challenge for Holy Week was to do that in an area or areas of your life. To be bold, absolutely. Then we had this Holy Week, and on Good Friday, we were led through a releasing and letting go process. And thank you, Eric, for taking us on that journey and guiding us. Yeah. 82 of us got to have this just experience that I have to go beyond with the words. It's hard to explain what happened. But I'll try. We had the singers, of course, the incredible, beautiful, amazing singers. Thank you for what you do here. And down here as well, and all of you. And then we had a very special ceremony where we gathered the salt and let it go between our fingers as a ritual of letting go into a bowl. And then Tina Johnson was nice enough to bring biblical oils for us to, not, I guess, made back at the period of Jesus. I'm not sure, Tina, I'll check with you on that. But frankincense and oils that were used back then for the anointing. And we had this whole letting go ritual that was so beautiful and great. And then, you know, most days in Holy Week have a name. And there's one day, Saturday, that most traditions don't really have a name. Some traditions say Holy Saturday, but there's really not a name. So I declared it Anticipation Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. Anticipation for that rising up and for that rising up that each of us do if we go through a metaphorical death and resurrection. And an excitement for Easter Sunday. And did anybody, if you did that, if you took good care of yourself yesterday and you participated in self-care and possibly went and got your nails done, a mani or a pedi, or you did something for yourself, just say yes.
Yes.
Oh, that makes me happy. Okay, good. I appreciate that. Yeah, anticipation. Absolutely. For this incredible day where we get to look at the very biggest epic journey of all time, this, what we might call this hinge of history, where things changed. And this boulder was removed, and, the Roman soldiers had to be kind of a little giddy, possibly, about rolling that boulder over because they thought it was what? The end. The end of this little rebellion thing that's happening, this rebel, this character, causing all these problems. But little did they know, it was just the beginning. How many of you have been able to release a situation in your life and let go and was ready for the new birth, ready for your own resurrection, but not quite? Because then you went back for it some more. You went back into the tomb. And what that might show up in different ways for you. It could show up, you thought you were done with drinking, or you thought you were done with a relationship, or you thought you had let go of something that was not serving you, an argument, a situation. You had talked to God about it. You thought it was done, but for some reason, you found yourself right back there. It had not dissolved. Yeah. So something to think about as you think about part of this Easter message, to be able to rise up and, you know, you might be able to say, well, James, you haven't seen my boulder. It looks more like something like this. Mm-hmm. Big boulder in my path, big boulder in my way that I can't seem to, maybe I chip at it a little bit, but it doesn't go away. I like when Michael, my dad, was here, he talked about taking responsibility for your life. Taking responsibility and not asking others, in this case, to remove your boulder for you. And some people may say, but have you seen my ex? I mean, you know, what, you know, I try to forgive, but I just can't do it. And why would I? Because look what she did to me. And that may be true, she or he. But do we want to stay there? Do we want to stay there in the tomb? Or do we want to find a way to be able to remove that? And I believe it takes being bold, but even more than that, to get bold, can you be strong about it? Can you increase the strength in your faith to move through any challenge that you are confronted with? When I think about strength, I always go back to this passage in Deuteronomy 31:6. And this is one of the three Bibles that my mentor used, Sky St. John. And he gave me this one. So I'm going to read this version because it says bold in it. Some of the other versions, they're all good. All the versions are good. But this one says bold. It says, be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And in unity, we know that it's a little bit of languaging there. We understand that, yes, God is with us, through us, with us. No spot that God is not. Absolutely, God is always with us, even sometimes when we don't remember or not aware of that and need remembering. This was actually written by, this was actually words that Moses spoke when he found out that he was not going to be going into the promised land. He spoke these words saying, be bold. God is with you. I won't be with you, per se, in the flesh, but God will be with you. That had to be very difficult for him to do after the 40 years wandering. But he did it anyway. Then he got Joshua over there and said, guess what? You are the one that's going to be doing it. Be bold, be strong, because you're going to have some challenges and some difficulty. The other thing that happened was, of course, well, I like to think about the fact that no one gave us more spiritual tools to be able to get rid of the boulder than Jesus did. He gave us the tools for us to power and be able to govern ourselves. And in fact, the root word for transcend, to transcend, is to rise above, or actually to go, to climb beyond is the root word, but we could say rise beyond. And I would imagine that you know someone that you feel maybe needs a little help to rise beyond a challenge. Or perhaps you are challenged right now because you're coming up against your stuff. What we call coming up against that edge where eventually, if you're growing, if you're rising in consciousness, you're going to have to come up against it. A lot of people may come to unity and start taking this responsibility, but then they come up against it, and what do we do sometimes? We go back to what we know. It's easier sometimes. Even though it's uncomfortable back there in the tomb and dark, perhaps we go back to it because that's a little bit what we know. And that might be in a relationship. It might be in your family. And the thing about family is that you can have disagreements, but don't go. Don't leave. It doesn't help to escape that. That's not the escape from the tomb we're talking about. That's actually building the boulder and dragging it with you. So don't leave. And that can be a spiritual family, or it can be best friends as well. The angels also said in the story, the readings that they said, the angel said, I am with you. Be strong. Be strong. They said, do not be afraid. We are angels to each other. Do not be afraid. We can lift each other up. But just walk forward knowing that. Do not be afraid. When I was going through my adoption process as a kid, those first few years of life, I was very afraid because they kept coming and saying, hey, you're going to be adopted now. You're going to be adopted. There's going to be a family that loves you. But then it wouldn't happen. Each time it wouldn't happen. So I was very confused. Then my birth mother would come in and get me and then bring me back, and I was going between foster homes. So that tomb a little bit for me was that abandonment issue. The feeling of abandonment, I can see how that has played out in life because I feel like I'm rising in consciousness, but sometimes those patterns and those beliefs and those things from the past can creep back up. But that is my opportunity to step into my truth and my epic final hero's journey to let that go and to let it dissolve. So I've come a very, very long ways in that area as opposed to being a victim and saying, look what they did. I'm never going to trust anyone because of what happened. You know, why would I trust anybody? Look what happened. Perhaps you've had a why would I trust men anymore? Look what he did to me in my relationship. Or that woman, look what she did. She took everything. Why would I ever trust anyone again? That is absolutely carrying that boulder. Now, at Unity, we discuss consciousness. We discuss rising up through higher levels of consciousness. We discuss it, consciousness being this awareness of all that we are. We discuss this. We talk about the subconscious, conscious. We like to explore these ideas. But then there was a system. This is some of Paul Hesselbeck's work I'm going to show, but based on certainly the co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore's work. This is levels of consciousness. And the first level is someone I enjoy reading about, the metaphysical master, Snoopy. Perhaps this was your anticipation Saturday, and that's fine. Power naps are a good thing, absolutely. But it can be annoying, too, to actually have to go back out and face the world, right? So that's when we turn back to our scripture and turn back to our books, turn back to our friends that are going to help us to be able to raise our consciousness. Now, this is a Unity model. You may have a model that's worked for you where you explore this journey of rising up your awareness, your consciousness. This was from Charles Fillmore, and this is actually levels starting off at victim, then victor, then vessel, then verity. So it's a situation where you may be at victim for a little while, and then you may rise back up to vessel or verity, but then you slip back down. That happens. That does happen. Even the way show where Jesus had these moments because he was human. Jesus of Nazareth was human. But at the same time, nobody expressed this highest consciousness and enlightenment like he did. But when he was in the garden and said, pass the cup from me, he was going, dropping back down a little bit into human consciousness, but certainly getting back in to his divinity and claiming the Christ consciousness, this highest level of consciousness that we like to call Christ consciousness. So what is victim consciousness? Well, this is very much the, oh, woe is me consciousness, okay? So in our metaphysical romp that we take through life, sometimes we have everything's happening against me. The world seems to, no matter what, work against me, and some people revel in it. Now, this is a pretty intellectual cartoon here, one that I enjoy, and the very first thing that Calvin says to Hobbes is, nothing I do is my fault. Have you had a kid say that before, or seem to indicate that? Nothing is my fault, Mom. Then he goes, like a true future therapist, probably, he says, my family is dysfunctional, and my parents won't empower me. My parents won't empower me. Consequently, I'm not self-actualized. That's very victim consciousness. I mean, there are people walking around saying that they're spiritual leaders or teachers or sages, but they're really kind of like, all this is keeping me from being self-actualized the way that I should be. But however you need to be it, don't look at me, you need to do it, right? My behavior is addictive, functioning in a disease process of toxic codependency. I need holistic healing and wellness before I'll accept any responsibility for my actions. And Hobbes says, I think what you really need, he said, one of us needs to stick his head in a bucket of ice water. Said, I love the culture of victimhood. I just love it, you know. You know, you can't get through life, you can't do very much in that culture. You're going to be miserable all the time. I mean, I'm just trying to become a bunny whisperer up here. Did Dr. Webster ever do that on stage? I don't know. So, the bunnies. So, claiming the Christ with Christian healing, page 93, it's basically saying here, the Fillmore's is saying that that's just declaring everything that it seems to be continuing to happen over and over and over to me. Now, I realize that bad things happen. Certainly, there's some things happening that are out of your control, I believe, that are not so pleasant, not so great, and that happens. But one thing is for sure, if you go into life saying, I'm always sick, my back always hurts, this person always hurts me, then you're creating a situation and a pattern and a belief system, and thoughts held in mind produce after kind, that you're probably going to get more of that you don't want. So that's very much victim consciousness. Now, the next level is victor. And this is a little higher consciousness. This is where you start realizing, oh, there is something maybe greater than just my human brain at work on this earth. And I can control some things. But then it's still not quite where you want to go. Because a lot of times we see with victor consciousness that there's this need to control things. Anybody, you know, ever like that? Got to control it. It's very hard to leave the tomb that way because you can't release anything. And usually when there is a victor, there is also a victim. Right. So in the hero's journey, we're not asking you to be a hero to save everyone. Let me save you. What we are saying is, climb on, like the song said today. There was a line there, climb on your shoulder. I'll climb on your shoulders to raise up. Yeah. So helping each other, that's different than trying to control somebody else through power. This is one of our, you know, 12 powers of the human unity we study is power, but it's being able to control your own thoughts and feelings and not trying to control someone else's. Also, this is just, you know, if you're desiring control over someone else, then you're asking to kind of, you know, Fillmorian speak here, have submission over their mind and their body. So then we rise up a little bit to vessel consciousness. And this is great to see, where are you? Can you bring awareness to moment to moment to moment in your life and just gauge a little bit where your thoughts are? It's a daily exercise to claim the Christ, to claim the Christ consciousness. So vessel is a little better because then you're realizing, okay, I am a conduit, I am an instrument, I am a vessel of God, and I can bring my potentials through this vessel into visibility. I can manifest my potential in this earth, right? But the issue can be there. There's still a little bit of possibly duality thinking there. You know, that okay, I'm just going to be a vessel. God's going to do everything. That's not really what we're talking about. That's a little bit of a spiritual bypassing, actually, where I'm just going to put a little bomb on it, a little spiritual bomb to feel better for a little while. And then I don't have to do anything. God's going to do it because I'm just going to be a vessel. So it's a co-creation. That's one of Unity's principles. We're co-creating. If I come on stage and I tell you that, you know, James didn't do it, God did all that, I don't even know where I was. Sometimes that happens. That's different, though, than working with Spirit, having Spirit move through me and being as verity consciousness, is me. That's claiming the Christ. This is the true Christ consciousness, where Jesus said, Christ in you, hope of glory. In Luke, where it said, Father, I am in you, you are in me, and they are in us. There's plenty of scripture and teachings throughout history about this idea of what I said last week, atonement, which stands for what?
At-one-ment.
Getting to this place of at-one-ment. And in Jesus Christ heals here, it's helping people understand that the person Jesus, there was the person Jesus with the bodysuit that we all have. And certainly he attained the highest level of consciousness, awareness, enlightenment that we know of, that most of us believe. There's been many different spiritual masters. But that even he, like I said earlier, can slip into a little bit of this lower consciousness. But then he goes back into the spiritual I am. That's what we want to challenge ourselves to do. And this right here, out of Adam Smashing Power of the Mind, I mean, Fillmore could come up with some book titles. I love this one. Adam smashing. It's so powerful, a lot of strength there. But it's just saying that we affirm at Unity the condition that we want and really, truly, the substance and condition that we are. In other words, just because we may be manifesting in a way, in a certain way, that doesn't mean who we really are. I want to affirm I am strong. I want to affirm I am the light. I am prosperous. I am abundant. That's affirming what the real truth of who you are is. If that was grammatically incorrect, so what? But you are confirming and affirming that. Every day, step into that. Be bold and step into that condition that you really are by claiming the Christ. Well, here's an example in Talks of Truth, kind of leading to this idea that no matter who may betray you, you know, certainly the high priestess, priest of Jerusalem, the, you know, officially the government of Jerusalem, handed over Jesus for crucifixion. His own people. But that gets back to what I was saying earlier, that maybe your own people are handing you over to a situation that is not ideal. But that's when we're able to get back and take responsibility and claim the Christ. Because if you can imagine that it's possible through God, then it is possible through you. Absolutely. You have to believe that. I just like this picture quite a bit. And because if we're going to claim the Christ, we have something at Unity called crossing out error consciousness or error thought. So that's a big part of this. Each time you let go of error thought, this is beyond. Now, certainly we know that Jesus was crucified. We know, I mean, even a couple of historians from the day talked about this in Jesus' life outside of the Gospels. But then it is that epic final that transcendence of going beyond that we celebrate. And we do that practical in a way of our own spirituality. We cross out error thought that's not serving us, our thoughts, and then our deeds and our actions, then we are crucifying the old life. We're crucifying the way, what we used to do. And we are rising up to be the people that we are really meant to be with God. So I want you to think of this. I'm going to read this out and just think about how this may apply in your life. If you are faced with a challenge, refuse to be panic-stricken, because that's not strength. That's not being strong. That's not trust in God. So this is by Eric Butterworth, who is one of my favorite Unity ministers of the past and writer. And he goes on to say, declare for yourself, I accept the reality of this situation, but not its permanence. Certainly there is no point in holding your head in the sand. The experience is there to be met. Determine that you will meet it, but on your terms. Do not let the outer happening squeeze you into its box, but open your mind to the flow of wisdom, love. Open your mind to the flow of wisdom, love, and good judgment by which you can deal masterfully with it. I accept the reality of this situation. That's an important piece. You're not ignoring it. If you have a true issue, we're not saying that it's not real. Accept the reality of it, but not the what? The permanence of it. It's not going to rule you. It's not going to, the boulder's not going to stay right there. Yesterday we were cleaning over there. I call it, you may have not have heard this if you haven't been here in a while, but I started calling it a bay, this water. And somebody said, it's not a bay because that empties into the ocean. I'm like, well, okay, it empties into the ocean of consciousness then. Verity consciousness. So if you hear that, you'll know where that came from. And so we're out there taking a look, and many of us have been looking to see what that meditation, that reflection garden over there could be. And we're spending some time with it. I had maybe a couple, two or three original thoughts, and then some other people have some original thoughts. Fred talked about the way the bridge could look going across, and then, you know, I've been thinking of a way to block the sound, and we keep talking about building a wall, which could be quite costly. But then I was like, what about a live fence that would be so alive that and hard that it would help block the sound? And then Michael Summers said, well, bamboo would do that. Because bamboo grows fast and it's, you know, the sound would bounce off. And then so after that, it was like, well, yeah, but, you know, you study bamboo and that stuff goes everywhere. It'd be growing in here. A different type of growing and, you know, conscious. And then somebody else, Christiana, said, well, yeah, but if you put it in steel boxes or some kind of metal boxes and run it across there, then that might work. And then another person got excited. We were talking about this and that, and then somebody got so passionate, we didn't ask for it, but it's at $3,500 to write toward the mission of doing it. So it was awesome, yeah. And I know more people are donating for landscape, but the point is that, you know, the fact of the matter is you don't have to have a church to worship. Everywhere is church. Everywhere is church to do the things we're talking about today, which is understanding your truth, seeking your truth, and raising an awareness. But it does help to be able to stand on somebody's shoulders. It does help to be able to move through this together and help each other. And it's a lot more fun, guys, because a spiritual journey can be fun. We've been having a lot of fun with the SE classes that we had here a few weeks ago. We had six of them. We're about to start them again May 8th for a week. Yeah. And if you're clapping, you'll be extra happy because I just found out that Saturday, this lady said yes, who I know that has a ranch. And so we're going to go celebrate on Saturday the conclusion of SEE week at a ranch, Lake Trail Ranch. And we're going to have some fun that day because when we see the shifts, we're not just talking about unity principles, we're doing it. Have you heard that about Unity of Dallas lately?
Yeah.
That action has happened, people are doing it, and I'm the luckiest guy to get to see the shifts that you are making in your life and true change. So back to the Bay of Consciousness. Michael Summers came and told me, he goes, you won't believe it. We all were just talking about roses and the Webster's Rose Garden and all of this, and there's a sign out there that says Rose Garden, but there's no roses around it. Build it and they will come. So yesterday, it's like this Holy Week exercise because Michael's over there cleaning and his daughters are over there cleaning all these weeds and working over there. And then he comes and tells me, he goes, there's one single rose. You got to see it. It's up by the, I'm going to show you a picture next week of it. I took pictures. I'm so proud of this rose because they cleared, it would have been easy to accidentally cut it because there were so many vines everywhere you couldn't even see it. That could be happening in your life. There's so many vines just strangling some things with you that you can't even see through the vines. So we cleared the vines away and there's a single beautiful rose. Rising up. Amazing. I wanted to share that with you. I like it. What is there for you to know from the situation that you're going through as you grow? Yeah, how must I grow? You know, how does this challenge open me to greater spiritual understanding and a closer walk with divinity? Yeah, how does it? So I think when you say that, you're telling the universe, I am open. I am willing. You know, if I'm trying to build something or make something that I want to use to impact other people's lives, how do I get there with everything that's going off? I'm so busy. How is this challenge going to open me up to where I walk with divinity in verity, consciousness, to where nothing can stop me? I am strong and I am bold. And the truth is, you are the light of the world. This is one of the big takeaways today. Go away with this, that no matter what darkness comes, you are the light of the world. I like the Eastern mystic Rumi, who speaks of this. I know you like Rumi a lot, Nathaniel, but he speaks of this and he says, hey, when it shows up at your door, laugh at it. If the shame, the malice, whatever you faced, even past religions or this or that, it shows up at your door and it starts making you feel not good on your journey. Wouldn't it be great to just go, ha, 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 come on in. We can do this. We can do this because even though it may be a reality, it's not what? It's not permanent. So you are the light of the world. Very important words that Jesus spoke. In fact, I want to hear you say it before we wrap up. And what you are going to do is say it, but you're going to say it with vigor. You're going to say it with zeal. You're going to say it with power. You may not even believe it yet. It's okay. We just went over that. Affirm it. Okay? So let's say it one time. Together. Okay. Now this time you're going to do it with my helper, Vanna. All right, come on out here. Own it. Okay. Okay, tell them what we're going to do with this power move. Okay, power. We talked about power today.
I am the light of the world. You want to say it. You want to lift your arms and open up your heart. You want to see the light flowing out and touching everything and everyone around you. See it flowing into that dis-ease place. See it flowing into a relationship that you may be struggling with. See it flowing into absolutely everything and above everything else. Say it with power. Feel that power flow from your toes all the way through your heart and come out big and strong like you're just this brilliant flow of light.
Should they stand up?
Yes. Absolutely.
Take them through it. What's the power stance?
The power stance is like this.
Don't hit your neighbor. Or like this.
Please don't knock them out. If you can't outstretch your arms, just go right here. Everybody with me now. I am the light of the world. A little bit louder now.
I am the light of the world.
With all the feeling in your being,
I am the light of the world.
Thank you. For you introverts out there, it's okay. Scratch a minister and they bleed a sermon. That's what happens. Congratulations. As we wind down, I do want to say to you that I believe that there is a journey that we are on that we can't quite understand. We can't quite see it, but our soul is nudging us to do it. If you know that that is your truth, then no matter what boulders, slings, arrows of outrageous fortune come against you, when it seems like everything is going against you, you can fend it off with the shield of peace and the shield of love, because you are the light. Happy Easter. Thank you.
Please join me in our offertory blessing. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you,
Father God. Thank you, Alex. And I do want to say thank you for your offerings. Allows us to continue our ministry. And next week, I want to have the letters out. I know some of you that didn't get them because it was probably your mailman's fault. Be a victim? No. But I wrote a reflective letter on my year, and it included the organizations that we were helping. Because like I said, church is anywhere, but we're able to take the offerings and put them back out into the community and make a difference and make an impact for many different good causes. So next week, we'll have those letters out so that you did not... in case you did not get to see it, we'll have them at the next desk right outside. And also, last thing, make sure to check with Lisa Walker if you want to deepen your dive that we're talking about today. Deepen your dive into consciousness, into the deep end of the pool. And talk to Lisa Walker out at the SEE table about what those classes do, what they mean, and what it would mean for you. Thank you. All right.